30. The night had eaten up a little more of the day's heat. Eli tugged his jacket closer around himself. Cold enough for a chill, but not enough to warrant buttoning up. Across the dirt road intersection, the first time around tossed out flickers of light and sound. He heard voices, laughter, notes from a piano, enough to overwhelm any other noise in the small town. He walked across the street. The first time around had cleaner paint and glass than many of the older buildings Eli'd seen in Hourglass. The planks and posts of the boardwalk in front of it were straight and sharp. No scrapes or gouges or nicks, just two or three small scuffs by the stairs. Barely a year into the life of Hourglass, and someone had decided to invest in a real three-story saloon. Someone, apparently, being Abraham Porter. The swinging doors at the building's corner were bright blue, not sun-faded in the least. Someone had written "Police Box" in white chalk across the twin doors. A handprint had smudged the B. Over the tops of the doors, he could see people. Dozens and dozens of people. The sound and life and energy of the party spilled out and washed over him. He glanced back over his shoulder, half expecting to see Harry watching him from the second iteration. The tavern's door was empty, though. The night watchman made his way back up the street, his rifle still on his shoulder. Eli pushed the blue doors open and stepped inside. The chandeliers in the first time around had twice as many candles, enough to make Eli think fire hazard before anything else. The white ceiling reflected the light back down at the patrons. Mirrors on the walls added to the brilliance and magnified the size of the crowd. Eli stared at the seething mass of people. Harry had called it her wedding reception, but it seemed like at least three different celebrations were in full swing. Smaller groups orbited the bigger clusters, and there were still dozens of people in trios or pairs or standing alone. The heat of them warmed the big room. He stood by the door for a moment, overwhelmed. A man and a woman walked past him, and the man thumped him twice on the shoulder with a smile. The woman glanced back to wave at Eli as they moved on. Eli reached up, tugged his derby down a little tighter on his head, a gesture that already felt comfortable and familiar, and waded into the saloon. According to Harry, he needed to be by the bar. He could get a drink, watch the room, and try to blend in. Of course, nobody was blending into the crowd. He could see clothes from at least a dozen different points in history, sometimes mixed on the same person. His eyes panned the crowd, wondering if he'd see young Harry before she saw him. He had no idea what Christopher looked like. Eli tried to remember any distinguishing feature Harry'd mentioned and couldn't come up with one past big. Hopefully at their reception, he'd be the man spending the most time with Harry. Eli passed the woman in the top hat and the lumberjack at a table together with a bottle of what looked like red wine. Each of them grinned as they looked from each other to a map of the United States that didn't seem to extend past Texas. As he watched, the man slid the woman a red-edged poker chip decorated with a blue spiral. A man with twin anchor tattoos and a sweat-stained tank top left the bar, and Eli squeezed in next to a thin man wearing a dark suit and a black hat. The bartender appeared, an older woman with brittle blonde hair, and Eli asked for a bourbon. It seemed to be a good default drink in almost every era they'd visited. The bartender waited, stared, and after a moment Eli took the hint. One of his coins slid onto the bar. The woman swept it up and replaced it with a glass, then did a slow pour until he signaled her to stop at three fingers. She walked off without a word. He sniffed the bourbon. It didn't burn his nose as much as the stuff across the street. Next time they were in the late 20th century, he'd make a point of getting some vodka. He turned and leaned back against the bar, bumping the man in the suit as he did. Alcohol splashed on the bar. "Sorry."
"No, it's my fault," said a soft voice.
She slid her own drink away and tilted the black fedora back to look at him. "Did you follow?" The question dissolved on his tongue. An ounce or two of baby fat made the detective's face a little rounder and fuller. 20, maybe 21 years old at the most. Her youthful, smooth skin gleamed in the candlelight. She smiled at him.
Did I follow who?
Sorry, he said. I thought you were somebody else.
It's the hat.
Probably. He tried to look casual as he studied the crowd. She leaned back against the bar, mimicking his pose. Her coat fell open to reveal a loosely knotted tie and a black satin vest that matched her hat. She raised her own glass toward him.
To the dream?
To the dream, he agreed. They drank. Eli.
Monica.
Good to meet you, Monica.
And you, Eli. So, we don't know each other yet?
No, I guess not.
Such a shame, she said. You weren't here last night.
No, I got in late. Just a few hours ago. He looked at her again. Her clothes were loose at the shoulders and waist, tight across the chest and hips. A man's outfit, not tailored for her frame at all.
Like what you see?
Sorry, he said, his eyes snapping back to hers. I'm still new at this. All the outfits and clothes are still kind of... She waved him off.
We're all new at this, she said. And I grew up in the 70s, Eli.
She smiled and clarified.
1970s.
Still sorry.
Like the woman says, I will survive.
Monica downed the last of her own drink and twisted to put the empty glass on the bar. As she turned back, she reached out and ran a finger across his chin.
If you can't find who you're looking for, come find me. You might get lucky.
She sauntered off into the crowd before he could respond. Then his eyes flitted away and he almost dropped his bourbon. John Henry stood at the far end of the bar, younger and broader. His big hands gestured as he spoke with a man about Eli's age and two Asian women in contrasting red and black robes. The man looked familiar. Eli added 10 years to him, then 20, and at 30 he recognized Theo Knickerbocker. John would be part of the wedding party, he'd more or less said so back on his train. He and Harry had known each other for years. Eli began to scan the crowd in John's area. James stood by the piano with a cigarette in his hand, at least 2 decades younger than he'd been across the street. Eli caught his breath when he recognized the man. Then a squeal of laughter echoed over the voices, and Harry rose up out of the crowd. Like with Monica, the years made a subtle difference. Harry's hair stretched longer. The curves sat smoother on the planes of her face. Her eyes were bright and wide, the lids not weighed down by those extra years. Her teeth gleamed in the candlelight. A smile stretched across her face and up to her eyes. Happiness beamed out of her like light from the chandeliers. The man whose shoulders she straddled had to be Christopher. He looked like a large man who'd been wrapped onto an average-sized frame. Big shoulders, big arms, big chest, all squeezed into a black jacket, but still, somehow, an average-sized man, and not a heavy one. His eyes were bright, his golden hair just long enough to be shaggy. He had the same happy aura as Harry. One hand rested on Harry's thigh, balancing her, while the other held a half-empty glass mug. Eli's attention turned back to Harry. Her vest was a white, satiny thing, and a cluster of snowy ruffles tumbled down the front of her shirt. The wedding gown of a history traveler, Eli mused. His eyes dropped away. He'd been staring too long at the bride. Someone was bound to notice, and Eli didn't think he should attract any more attention than necessary. Although he wasn't sure how much that would be, either. He scanned the crowd again. One of the Asian women who'd been speaking with John, the one in black, had wandered over to share James's cigarette. James spoke to her in an offhand way, still focused on the piano player. Eli looked up at Harry again. She had a drink in her hand, and some of it rained on Christopher as Eli watched.
John, she shouted across the room. Come toast our happy day with us.
John's laugh boomed across the crowd.
That was 2 days ago.
Laughter from the crowd now.
Then come toast today with us, she cackled.
Eli smiled and turned to watch the room again. Young Theo had wandered across the room to lean over the lumberjack's shoulder. A woman with a long black braid and a battered motorcycle jacket led the other Asian woman, the one in red, upstairs, but kept gazing back at Harry with a wistful smile. The crowd spat up a woman in front of him. Eli guessed her to be maybe 10 or 15 years older than him, with just enough silver hair for it to stand out. He recognized the woman's leather bonnet, but this close he could see that what he'd mistaken for a brass button back in Pasadena was actually some kind of large coin, or maybe a medal, pinned to the hat. Her trench coat was folded open to reveal a long red scarf and khaki cargo pants.
"Begging your pardon," she half shouted at him. "Can you wave down, Siobhan?"
She pointed past him to the bartender. He turned and tried to get the woman's attention. How did people get a bartender's attention before there were paper bills or credit cards to flash? Did they wave a quarter back and forth? Shout? The bartender turned and he straightened up, catching her eye. She wandered down and money changed hands. Eli studied the bonnet. It didn't look much newer than it had in Pasadena. Neither did she. That afternoon couldn't be more than a year or two in her future.
"You're staring," said the woman. "Do we know each other?"
He shook his head. She gave him a sly smile, showing a set of wide teeth with a narrow gap.
"Do we know each other eventually?"
He shook his head again.
"No," he said. "I think I saw you at a distance once. You were
across the road."
"Oh, that's cryptic," she said. "I like that."
She studied his face for a moment and gave a single nod, but said nothing else. Siobhan, the bartender, brought her a thin bottle, and the bonneted woman winked at Eli before vanishing back into the crowd. Eli turned to look for Harry and Christopher again. She'd dropped back into the crowd. John had waded over to her, and their conversation now included young Theo. The man did get around. The crowd parted, and Eli glimpsed a large man in army green sitting at a table across the room. The crowd shifted again, and he got another look. The man's mouth and brow formed two flat, parallel lines above and below his eyes. They made the stern face look even more like a block. Something about it seemed familiar. The face, or the expression. 5 years ago, or 130 years from now, Eli'd been the best man at Corey and Robin's wedding. Not the youngest couple he'd seen get married, but still pretty young, even with a little hindsight. A few times at the reception, Eli had happened to glimpse Robin's father watching all the barely out of college kids drinking and dancing and celebrating, and more than a few of them making out right there on the dance floor. Robin's father had smiled proudly for photos and whenever his daughter and new son-in-law looked at him, but his overall expression, his mood, had been disappointment. At the wedding, at the behavior, at the public displays of affection. The man on the far side of the first time around was proud of all this, but on some level, the party disappointed him. Just as Eli realized who the man had to be, Abraham Porter's eyes shifted and locked onto Eli's. He gave a faint, polite nod of acknowledgement, maybe even a hair of approval. Then the crowd shifted again, and Porter vanished. Eli lifted his drink and let his eyes slide over the crowd. Where had Christopher gone? Had he ducked into a bathroom or run to an outhouse? Something slammed into his back and shook his teeth, a hand like a baseball mitt.
"Siobhan!" bellowed a voice. "Another round of the good stuff for the party, and one for my new friend here."
Christopher dropped against the bar. His brilliant blue eyes swept up and down Eli, even as he brushed his scruffy hair back across his scalp.
"Do I know you?"
Eli shook his head. The other man studied his face and grinned.
"Am I going to know you?"
"I don't think so." The bartender set down two glasses, each brimming with at least a triple of something that smelled of Halloween candy and wood fire smoke.
"I only ask," said Christopher, "because you seem to have such a keen interest in me and my lovely new bride."
Eli glanced back at Harry again. He reached for one of the glasses, and Christopher set a hand on his arm. It was a gentle touch, but Eli felt the strength lurking behind it.
"It's my wedding," said the broad-shouldered man. "I want it to be a happy, peaceful celebration without any trouble, but if trouble comes looking for me and the folks I love, well, I'll still do what needs to be done."
"Nothing needs to be done," Eli said. "Honest."
"Excellent."
Christopher moved his hand. He picked up one of the glasses and nudged the other toward Eli.
"To the happy couple,"
he said with a grin.
"To the happy couple,"
echoed Eli. They drank. Eli gasped. Christopher chuckled and slapped him on the arm. A few drops of liquor flew from Eli's glass to the floor.
It's a bit strong, said Christopher. Puts hair on your chest, and a few other places, too.
He raised his glass again, and Eli tried to keep up.
Thank you, said Eli.
For the drink.
The groom pays for everything. That's what my dad taught me.
He looked at Eli's clothes again.
1970s?
80s, Eli said.
Sort of. I think. Oh, swell times, said Christopher. I spent more than a few nights then before my Harry made an honest man out of me.
It's a nice place, said Eli. Or time, I guess.
From the 1920s myself, said Christopher. Used to be a banker, believe it or not.
Really? He nodded sagely.
Worst of the worst. Just a grubby step or two above being a loan shark.
What happened?
The crash,
he said.
Invested poorly, lost everything. Wealthy as Midas one morning, poor as a priest the next night. I was trying to throw myself off the Brooklyn Bridge when a woman grabbed me.
Phoebe Fitzgerald? Christopher's brow shifted.
You know Phoebe?
Reputation only. He mulled over the phrase and nodded in approval.
She's a good woman.
He gazed across the room.
I owe her a lot.
Eli followed his gaze.
Is she here? I thought she was...
His tongue tripped over the words. I mean, for me, she's... This time he made no attempt to recover and let his tongue faceplant between his teeth.
Still a bit wet behind the ears, aren't you?
Christopher raised his glass again.
No insult meant. Took me months to wrap my noggin around it all. Harry, she's brilliant, and it took her 2 or 3 weeks. It's a strange life we've chosen, and it can be a lot to take in.
Eli nodded in agreement.
How long have you been on the road?
About a week now, I think, actively. Maybe 6 days.
6 days? Christ on a crutch! And you're already an hourglass. Took me almost a year just to hear about this place.
Christopher finished off his drink and waved to the bartender.
Shut me off after this next one, Siobhan,
he said,
or I won't be able to perform my duties tonight.
The bartender laughed as she poured another 2 fingers into the glass.
So,
Christopher said, raising his fresh drink.
You know a Phoebe, but you don't know me, and you were staring at me and my lovely bride. Which makes me wonder if you were just staring at her.
Eli sipped his own glass. The liquor steamed in his throat. He'd barely finished half his first drink. Christopher gulped another mouthful.
Can't fault you for that. She's a fine-looking woman. Couldn't take my eyes off her from the first time I saw her.
He looked at Eli.
That's not why you're staring, though, is it? You know her.
Eli mimed taking a long drink of his own, but let most of it wash into his mouth and back out into the glass. The vapors numbed his tongue. He glanced at the door. There were almost a dozen people between him and the swinging panels. If he understood the rules, the other man wouldn't follow him into the other bar.
1980s means you're not from her past,
Christopher said, tapping his finger against his tumbler.
I'm guessing we meet up sometime in the future. And you decided to come back and invite yourself to the wedding reception?
She brought me, Eli said, and regretted it.
Ah, said Christopher, his smile growing. You're traveling with us. You snuck over here from the second iteration, didn't you? You cheeky bastard! Porter will slap you silly if he finds out.
He took another big mouthful of his drink.
I don't think I'm supposed to say anything. Rules and all.
Eli looked over at the crowd of people around the bride.
You should be getting back to the party, shouldn't you?
Christopher paused.
She brought you,
he echoed.
She brought you, but you don't know me.
Eli watched the man's face soften. Christopher's eyes shifted to the distant bride. He set his glass down on the bar.
Them? The faceless men?
Eli thought about cryptic answers, then direct ones, and ended up studying the half inch of liquid at the bottom of his glass. An answer in itself. Christopher's lips tightened.
Do you know when? I really don't think I'm supposed to talk about it. I won't tell anyone if you don't,
he said.
Call it a wedding gift.
Eli's gaze shifted from the bourbon to the polished surface of the bar. He didn't know much about woodwork, but he guessed the dark planks of the bar hadn't been cheap. They made the chalky rings from past glasses stand out. Christopher closed his eyes.
"Now," he said, "you're right. Better if I don't know. Just..."
He looked out across the room at the young Harry.
"They don't hurt her, do they? Tell me that at least."
"No," Eli shook his head. "No, she's fine. I mean, she's fine now. So if she was hurt then, it wasn't bad. Not physically hurt," he added. "She's still..."
"Yes?" "She doesn't talk about it much." "Still recent?"
"No, I mean... not today, or not when I know her. She's not going to meet me for another 9 years, I think. At that point, for her, it's been almost..." Eli stopped and looked over at Harry. She'd paused in her celebrating and now stared across the room at the bar, at her husband talking with the man in the short wool coat and the derby. Eli studied his drink again. Christopher studied his.
"You want to know an ugly truth?"
He waved his glass at the crowd without waiting for an answer.
"This party isn't for me and Harry. Part of it is, sure, but the reason everyone is so happy is because they don't have to accept the future yet."
"What do you mean?" Christopher looked at him.
"I saw you talking with Alice a few minutes ago. Phoebe's here too. So's Abraham."
He glanced across the room and took a slow breath.
"More than half the people in this room are dead, from my point of view. Most of them were killed, murdered. Everyone who makes it over to the second iteration either knows how they're going to die or how someone they care about is going to die, if they haven't already. Traveling through history, like we do, it's all about meeting ghosts and eventually realizing we're all somebody's ghost."
They leaned against the bar for a moment, not talking or drinking.
"I should get back to Harry,"
said Christopher. He smiled at Eli.
"Thank you. For what?"
The broad man lifted his glass and downed the last of his drink with two deep swallows.
"You've told me I get to spend the rest of my life with the person I love most in this world. What more could anyone ask for?"
Christopher gave Eli one last pat on the back, set his glass on the bar, and pushed back into the crowd. He waded through to Harry, who glanced from her husband to Eli and back. Then Christopher swept her into his arms, and she smiled, and the searchers around them laughed at something he said. People surrounded them again, and they vanished from sight. Eli took another look around the bar. Part of him wanted to finish his drink and maybe spend his other quarter to get one more bourbon. Maybe flirt with Monica again. It seemed like a waste to leave before he had to, considering he could never come back again. But he couldn't stay. Harry hadn't mentioned the man in the derby hanging around. He took a last sip of his drink and left it sitting on the bar with a half inch still in the bottom of the glass. Eli paused at the door to glance over his shoulder. The crowd parted one more time, and the last face he saw in the first time around ended up being Abraham Porter, still leaning back in his booth, although the woman with the leather bonnet had joined him. Something about the large man still set off little twinges of deja vu. Eli pushed the blue doors apart and stepped out into the dark night of Hourglass. They closed behind him with a faint creak, just loud enough to be heard over the music and voices. The night watchman had vanished again, down one side street or another, or maybe he just went home after a certain point. The dark form of another figure wandered up the main road, a woman from the sway of the hips. And then something hit the back of Eli's head and sent a tremor echoing forward through his skull. The world spun, his legs collapsed, and everything went black before the tremor even reached his eyes.